Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, and we are live on location at the Auto Farms Ford location. It's the grand opening, and it's been a big couple of days. You got to come down here and join us. There's a bounce house for the kids. The Coca-Cola truck is out here. The Auto Farm is grilling up some hamburgers and hot dogs. I know Waffle Love is down here as well. They're giving away some terrific prizes, and it's the brand new location. This place is quite something, so it's a lot of fun to sit here and do Drive Time Sports from the new Ford location. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Travis, we don't get to go on location too often, so it's always fun to come here to the Auto Farm.
Yeah, it's good to get out, come down here. A beautiful facility you got down here at the Ford dealership.
It's miraculous, isn't it?
It's awesome.
You walk in this place, it's like a storybook. It's absolutely beautiful. So again, plenty of incentive for you to come on down and join us for this live broadcast today. Now, we do have a fun show planned. Even though we are live on location and outside of the studio, we'll still be joined by a couple of guests over the phone. We're going to continue our season wrap-up today as far as the spring sports season goes. Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Sport and Softball Squad will join us over the phone, and we'll recap their season, which came to a close a couple of weeks ago. Now, the softball season is continuing this afternoon as Carbon is taking on Union. We also have Grantsville and Manti going at it. Four teams unbeaten still as we get to the final couple of days of the softball season. So we will talk some local sports on the show today, and we're also on the eve of the Preakness. I get it. Look, horse racing, I love it, but I think it takes center stage for about 6 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, it does. And you don't have to be a genius to know that that horse racing tomorrow is good.
That's great. It's fantastic. I mean, it is a spectacle, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow because I think Justify honestly possesses the ability to be a Triple Crown winner.
We'll I'm see. With you.
I think he does. I mean, yeah. I was impressive in the good. Kentucky Derby. He's great. Did not run as a two-year-old and still won the Kentucky Derby. He was the first horse since 1882 to do that. We'll be joined by Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll get his take on it as well. I mean, when you talk horse racing, that guy is one of the best minds in the business. So I'm looking forward to that phone conversation as well. So that's what we have in store here on this Friday edition of the show. And in the meantime, let's take a look at some of the national sports headlines, and we will actually begin in Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at the schedule. As far as one of the most anticipated matchups of the day, it was the Dodgers and the Nationals, and I say it was anticipated because, again, you and I have gone back on this for the last couple of days. You think the Dodgers are going to be just fine. I'm iffy on it. Maybe that was a turning point for them against the Marlins. I'm looking forward to this team going up against Max Scherzer, who is the best pitcher in the National League right now, hands down, especially with Kershaw on the DL. He's outperformed everyone. Maybe Patrick Corbin is in that conversation, but if you want consistency, give me Max Scherzer. And then, of course, you have Strasburg coming up this weekend. I'm interested in this series. We're going to have to wait another day.
Going to have to wait a day, doubleheader tomorrow. I still think the Dodgers go out, make a move, and I know that Manny Machado's in play because Baltimore's a bad team, and Baltimore's going to have to start moving these pieces to rebuild that. So I still think the Dodgers make a move, and they're fine.
I've talked to individuals that are closer to the situation that have said Machado will be on the move in the National League, and it's looking at this particular time like L.A. may be the front runner for Machado. You never give up any. I'm not going to call out those sources who have told me that. We'll see what comes to fruition. A lot can happen between now and the trade deadline. He's going to the National League because the Orioles are the worst team in baseball. Machado's pending free agency. He's going to go to the National League. Who's going to offer the biggest prize for the Orioles? The Dodgers don't necessarily play that kind of game. Andrew Friedman's kind of a guy that wants to do it low-key. He wants to get that payroll down. It's just, it's not a Dodger-like move, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and this team is ready to win right now. I think that's an interesting storyline to follow. Elsewhere in the National League, we get the Padres and the Pirates. 5:05 start time there. If we jump over to the American League in the 5 o'clock hour, we get the A's and the Blue Jays. Also, Baltimore will travel to meet the Red Sox. The Cubs and the Reds will go toe-to-toe at 5:10. John Lester is on the mound for the Cubs tonight. I mean, he has been quietly getting better throughout the year. Got off to a rough start. Lester has been very, very good. I believe his ERA is now under 3, if I'm not mistaken. So things have worked out okay for Lester. And also Homer Bailey for the Reds, who have played better baseball as of late.
Homer Bailey. Cincinnati, they're paying a lot of money to Homer Bailey, but there comes a time where you probably need to move this guy to the bullpen because he's just not himself after having so many surgeries. If I was Cincinnati, I would move Homer Bailey to the bullpen.
Let's move on. We got the Diamondbacks and the Mets. Zach Godley will take on Jacob DeGrom later on this afternoon. We also get the Marlins and the Braves. The White Sox will travel to meet the Texas, or will play host, rather, to the Texas Rangers in the 6 o'clock hour. We get the Brewers at the Twins. The Indians will travel to meet the World Series champion Houston Astros with Charlie Morton on the mound, who has been very good this entire season. Nationally televised game this evening, we get the Yankees and the Royals at 6:15. CC Sabathia will take the bump. Jake Arrieta and the Philadelphia Phillies will take on Michael Wacha and the St. Louis Cardinals at 6:15. Three games in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Tampa Bay at the Angels. The Mariners will welcome in Detroit, and then we get the Rockies and the Giants. And that's a look at what's happening in the Major League Baseball schedule for this evening, this afternoon. And again, we are live at the Auto Farms Ford location celebrating their grand opening. We've got the bounce house outside for the kids. A little windy outside, but it's perfect weather. It's fine. Come on down. Make sure you grab a hot dog and a hamburger. And of course, the Auto Farm is giving away some great prizes as well. All you got to do is enter to win the drawing. It's a fun afternoon, and we're excited to be here live on location at the Auto Farm Ford location. We have plenty more coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll be joined over the telephone by Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Spartan softball team when we return. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Emory High School baseball manager Rob Smith as we continue our season wrap-up interviews. In Smith's first year as manager of the Emory baseball team, the Spartans advanced to the state tournament before losing to the Carbon Dinos. They dropped to the one-loss bracket and defeated the Morgan Trojans. Emory then was eliminated from competition as they lost to the Union Cougars. Coach Smith says, all in all, for a young team, he felt they played very well.
I mean, it was good. Good for my first year. Good learning experience. We were young, so I can't really be disappointed in how the season turned out. We played a lot of good close games. Just came up on the wrong side of a few.
With only three seniors on this year's roster, the Spartans did pick up one win at the state tournament. Smith says, all in all, he believes it was a great learning experience for his youthful team.
Good. Good for their first time. I think it'll help a ton next year when state tournament rolls around with experience. They'll know the mindset going in a little better and hopefully won't be as nervous.
The three seniors on this year's squad include Easton Gordon, Jared Snow, and Colton Wilson. Smith says all in all, the seniors played a huge role for this year's squad.
They're huge. They have a lot of leadership. They come to practice, work hard every day. Set a good example for the younger kids. Couldn't have asked for better seniors my first year.
You can listen to this complete interview with Emory baseball manager Rob Smith by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Today will begin the final stretch of the 3A high school softball season, and the Carbon Lady Dinos will return to the field at 2 p.m. this afternoon to take on the Union Cougars. Carbon has advanced to this point after beating Summit Academy 14-0 back on May 5th, and then they defeated North St. Pete 15-14 in a slugfest. That victory placed Carbon in the quarterfinals, where today they'll take on the Union Cougars, the number 2 seed from Region 14. A win for the Lady Dinos means at 6 p.m. tonight they would take on either Grantsville or Manti for a chance to play in the state championship. A loss means Carbon would go down to the one-loss bracket, and they'd be matched up against the Grand Red Devils in an elimination contest at 4 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll bring you the final results as soon as they become available. Also this afternoon, the track and field season will begin its final stretch with day one of the state championship tournament. Both Carbon and Emory have participants that will travel to BYU to participate in the season finale. We'll bring you the final results from the track and field state championship meet on Monday. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll be live on location at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group's Ford location as we celebrate their grand opening. Now on today's show, you'll hear from Emory High School softball manager Sean Bell as we recap the Emory softball season, and we'll also be joined by Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, who is the host of the Fast Track, as we preview the Preakness as Justify looks to make it 2-for-2 on his quest for a triple crown. And you'll also hear about the latest deals and, of course, the grand opening at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group Ford location. And, of course, you'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Time for the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And again, today we are live at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group celebrating the grand opening. But joining us over the phone right now, we have a very special guest, Coach Sean Bell, the Emory High School softball team, as we continue to recap and wrap up the high school sports season. Coach, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. I appreciate the time again today, so thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jordan. It's always a pleasure.
Always fun to talk some Emory softball, Coach. And unfortunately, the season came to an end last weekend for this squad, or 2 weeks, actually, 2 weeks ago. But it's kind of been weird when you take a look at the softball season, the way it's gone for 3A. We had the rain delay, so now I guess we're finishing up the season this weekend. Kind of a long delay, I guess, to the conclusion for the softball season.
Yeah, it was. For some reason, this time of year, we always get a big rain up there, and it always puts a damper on things.
Yeah, definitely did this year as well. Coach, let's start by talking about how the state tournament actually unfolded. And we can start in that opening game. It was Union, the number 2 seed from Region 14, who happens to be one of the 4 teams playing today without a loss. So you guys had a tough matchup right off of the bat, and unfortunately came out of the losing end, which dropped you to the 1-loss bracket.
Yeah, we did. You know, we started a freshman pitcher, Kasia Johnson. I think it was her best outing of the year, and she kept them pretty good. We had a few errors that cost us quite a few runs in the, I believe it was the 5th or 6th inning that kind of took us out of the ball game. But Kasia came out and pitched really well for us.
Offensively, Coach, only scoring a couple of runs in this game. What were some of the difficulties that you guys ran into?
You know, their defense was really tough. We actually hit the ball pretty well. We just continually hit it right to somebody. We just couldn't buy a break.
With that loss, that sent you down to the 1-loss bracket, and it's a familiar opponent, Coach, a team that you guys definitely have a history with in San Juan, and that unfortunately resulted in another loss. This time you guys found a way to score some runs, but it was 15-8 in favor of San Juan.
Yeah, we come out in the first inning and hit the ball really well and scored 5 runs, I believe. We continue to hit the ball. We didn't have very many strikeouts, but again, we just hit it right to them. I believe we hit 2 home runs that game. We just couldn't find a break ever.
You and I were talking a bit off of the cuff, Coach, and you had mentioned that it was a little disappointing to end the season with 2 straight losses in the state tournament, really never finding some footing in that final field. Going into the final stretch of the season, did you feel that this team was capable of making a deep run?
You know, I thought we just started coming back together really good as a team and started clicking. We played Manti and North St. Pete, which are both really good teams, and I think it kind of took a little bit out of us. But then we started playing some other teams and getting a few more wins, and I thought we was building our team back up. You know, their confidence was coming back, and I wish we would have had a couple more games to play, and our confidence would have been really good again, and I think we could have done a lot better.
There was a stretch, Coach, at the beginning of the season, if we go back into March, in which this team won, I believe it was like 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 games, and that was in March. I mean, it seemed as if this was going to be a very telling year. What was the big difference between March and going into April and even into the state tournament? I mean, was it the level of competition? What do you kind of pinpoint as the problem between the 2 months?
You know, we got a couple girls hurt. We lost one of our pitchers, and we lost our third baseman. And I think that really took a toll on us. And then we played some really, really tough teams, you know, Carbon, which being one. And our team was pretty young, and I think it took a toll on their mental on them.
This is a team that only has four seniors, Coach, so we can talk about those four seniors who obviously played a role, a major role, in what you guys were able to accomplish this year.
They did. You know, they've been with me the whole time, and a bunch of good girls on there.
Let's talk about them individually, Coach, and what they actually bring to the table and what you're going to have to replace next year.
So we had Addie Healy, which was our catcher. She actually played quite a bit of freshman. She caught for us our first couple of games as a freshman and then caught at the end of the year. She's really hard to replace. She's just worked really hard girl. And then we had Jayla Weston, which hurt her back, so she got to play the first couple of games, then pretty much missed the rest of the season because her back was hurt. Morgan Donaldson, she stepped up and took a role of a shortstop, and which she's a true outfielder, and she's probably one of the best center fielders that I've seen. And it's really hard to replace somebody that's that good center field. Cardi Robertson, she's been playing for us the whole time, and she's been playing our second base, and she's been hitting the ball really well for us. And Larissa Thompson, she was our left fielder, in which she's been playing ever since she was a sophomore starting varsity. So, you know, there's some pretty crucial players that we're missing. But we got some young girls coming up, and I think they'll be able to fill their spots pretty well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Sport and Softball Team as we are live at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group for their grand opening. Coach, you mentioned Addison Healy, and I always think this is an important aspect of high school sports that sometimes gets lost in translation. Addie has also been named to the academic all-state team, performing quite well, joining a group of 10 girls who combined with a 3.996 GPA. You mentioned that she was an important player for you guys throughout the year. She bats .354, has four doubles and I believe two or three home runs throughout the year. But most importantly, I mean, she also had great success in the classroom.
She did. She's a hard, hard worker. Whatever there was to do, she was the first person there and the last one to leave.
Definitely a player that the younger girls can learn from. And I know that's kind of where this program is going. You and I were talking again off the air, and you had mentioned that over the next 3 years, you would expect to see some heavy improvement, some heavy growth from this team based on the youth that you have.
Yeah, they've been playing a lot of travel ball, you know, and that's where it starts, is in the travel ball. We got a lot of good pitchers coming up and a lot of good girls coming up. You know, their attitudes are really good, and they really love the game, and they're ready to play.
Did you have an individual this year, Coach, that you felt made the biggest step forward, an underclassman who maybe next year you're going to look at as kind of being a stud, or in some point in time, maybe the most one of the more important players on the team? Was there someone that made that jump?
You know, there's so many of them that I don't know if one really stands out. There, our sophomore freshman class is just really strong, all of them, and they're. No, there's a lot of roles that they can play.
I mean, obviously the younger coaches, and we don't really ever talk about the junior varsity or the sophomore levels, but boy, they play such an intricate part when you look at a program, Coach. You've been happy with the growth at that stage?
You know, they really love to play ball, and they really get it done, and they get after it.
What was kind of the shining point for the team this year, Coach? Was there a specific period where you look back on now that it's all said and done and you've had a couple of weeks to kind of reflect and say, you know what, that right there was when we were playing our best softball?
You know, I think towards the middle of the season, we went down to St. George and we kind of started getting it together in St. George, and we come back from there and we played really, really tough ball. And that's kind of when we started getting girls that started getting hurt, and we kind of just fell apart from then on, I think.
Well, again, I mean, you guys played such a difficult schedule. I mean, you mentioned Carbon, who, you know, you guys had a very tough game with them. They're still playing in the without a loss in the state tournament. We've talked about Union, a team that you lost to in the state championship tournament. They haven't suffered a loss yet in the state tournament themselves. So, I mean, all in all, Coach, you guys had a pretty difficult schedule when you look at it front to back, comparing it to the teams that have had success in the state tournament.
Yeah, and, you know, Manti, they're great team. North San Pete's a really good team, and then you throw Grand in there. Grand had their pitcher was hurt, and she come back at the end of the year, and they're still playing up in the state championship. in the losers bracket, but they're a great team too. So our region is very tough.
Yeah, yeah, and I asked you that. You know, do you think that this team is setting up to be one of the top dogs in the region here relatively soon? You said this region's always going to be tough. And really, when you look at it front to back, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. These are schools that have a great deal of success when you look at it history-wise.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I no doubt that this is probably one of the toughest regions that in the state.
It is the first year, Coach, since the realignment for the new classification. All in all, what's your opinion of the 3A classification now that a year has gone by?
You know, we only picked up, I believe, one team, and that was Richfield. So I think our region is – we picked up Manti also, but they was always in 3A or 2A with us. So our region is just – it's not really changed. It's just tough.
Seems like it has, you know, when you look at Region 13, 14, and 15, it has even the playing field a little bit more, though.
Yeah, it has. It has. It really has. Some of our teams are just phenomenal softball players, though.
Coach, before I let you go, I want to talk about the off season and what it will hold for the Emory softball team. You mentioned traveling ball. I mean, what are some of the plans from this point on to kind of, I guess, fine-tune some things as you guys go into the off season?
As you know, a lot of my players play multiple sports, so it's kind of hard to do some travel stuff. But we're going to try to get in a few tournaments. The younger girls, they're already started playing the travel ball. We'll probably hit three or four tournaments and go out and have some fun this summer.
Well, Coach, congratulations on another year. You guys get back to the state championship tournament, which is always tough to do when you mention some of the schools that are in the region. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us today as well.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. We always appreciate you.
Again, that's Emory High School softball coach Sean Bell joining us over the phone as we continue to wrap up the 2017-2018 high school sports season. It definitely went by in a hurry, to say the least. And we've got a break for just a moment. Again, we are live at the Auto Farms Ford location as we celebrate the grand opening. You got to make sure you get down here. We have lots of giveaways. There's the bounce house for the kids. Of course, they're grilling up some food. Come on down. You're definitely going to want to take a sight to see what everything is going on down here because they got a lot happening as they celebrate the grand opening. Again, we're at the Auto Farm Ford location, and we have plenty more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll move to the national sports scene, and we'll preview tomorrow's Preakness. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down the drain.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Again, today we are live at the Auto Farm Ford location celebrating a grand opening. It's not too often we take Drive Time Sports out on the road, but even doing so, we're still able to bring in some great guests over the phone, including Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine. He's also the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, and also the host of the Fast Track, and that's what we're going to talk about for this particular segment. Coming up tomorrow, we have a very interesting showdown as Justify, who is currently the favorite to pick up the win in the Preakness, will go toe-to-toe with Good Magic, the same horse that he beat by about 2.5 lengths at the Kentucky Derby just a couple of weeks ago. Steve, a pleasure to get you on the show to talk some more horse racing. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. The only thing that's going to be a fast track tomorrow at Pimlico is how fast the rain falls, because looks like we're on track for another muddy day at in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm glad you started with that, because Pimlico track, it's shorter than Churchill Downs at 9.5 furlongs, which is down from a 10 furlong track at the Derby. So with that being said, and the weather, and considering everything, all the variables that go into it, what can we expect as far as the biggest difference between the two tracks?
Well, Churchill Downs rain and Pimlico rain are very different types of rain. You say to yourself, well, how is that different? It's water falling on dirt. Well, Churchill Downs is a slower course when it rains. It typically turns into what some people refer to as like peanut butter. It holds its water very well. So it turns into this kind of very, very muddy, deeper kind of course at Churchill Downs. Now, it drains exceptionally well, but as rain falls on it, it has a difficult time doing that, obviously. Pimlico's a little different. Pimlico's essentially like, imagine a regular street with water falling on it. It's still very fast. It's very slick. not dangerous, but it's faster. So that only plays into the hands of a horse like Justify, who's going to be on or near the front end every step of the way. So whereas Justify probably got a rainy track that he liked, a muddy track that he liked, which obviously we knew that going in because he'd already won over a muddy track at Santa Anita earlier this year at his three-year-old campaign, he's going to like this one probably even more because it's a little bit less, it's a little less slower. It's a little less muddy. It's a little less deeper. So it's actually the kind of track he should like more.
How impressed were you with Justify out of the Kentucky Derby, considering the fact that we haven't had someone a horse not race as a two-year-old breaking the curse of the Apollo, which I believe it was 1982, if memory serves me right. How impressed were you with the overall performance and, of course, the history that Justify did make the Kentucky Derby?
I was impressed with the professionalism he showed 8 minutes before the race ever started. You know, you got to remember, 3 races in his career, and he's only been on the racetrack in front of maybe crowds of 10,000-15,000 people, as opposed to the 160,000 that were on hand at Churchill Downs. And then you watched him out of the starting gate. He got the perfect trip. I mean, you hear the perfect trip all the time, and it sounds, some people can say the perfect trip, and it almost sounds like you're negating the horse a little bit or downplaying his performance. This is a horse who had only run 3 times. This is a horse who had every reason to bounce to the moon, considering all the circumstances that were in his way, and he didn't. He absolutely broke perfect, he settled perfect, and he rallied perfect. And I can't underscore enough how much I think that has to do with Mike Smith, who maybe any other jockey, and I don't mean to sound bad about a guy like Victor Espinoza, who's won multiple derbies, or Javier Castellano, or John Velasquez, any of the other jockeys, they probably don't do the same thing. Mike Smith was as cool as a cucumber. He was patient. He was tactical. He was precise. And I think this combination, this horse and rider combination, maybe we haven't seen that since California Chrome, because Chrome got along very well with Victor Espinoza. He worked under Victor Espinoza. And I think what we're seeing is that same kind of relationship between Mike Smith and Justify.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein, the host of the Fast Track and also First Sports. We'll talk about those shows in just a minute. And we are live at the Auto Forum Price Auto Group's Ford location for their grand opening. Talking about what's in store tomorrow at the Preakness, Steve, you take a look at the odds, and it seems like there's Justify, there's Good Magic, and then there's everyone else.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way it's going to play out as far as the wagering is concerned. You know, if you're a gambler, if you're betting on the race, the question is, you know, can Good Magic beat Justify? Yeah, but he has to do something he hasn't been able to do yet, and that is pass this horse. He hasn't been able to do that. And if you look at his losses, he seemingly gets into these positions where he doesn't pass horses. You look at his loss in the Fountain of Youth Stakes, he didn't go by a single horse. Now, he did that in the Bluegrass, but I would argue the Bluegrass field probably wasn't that great a field to begin with. He was the 8-5 overwhelming favorite that day, and he won handily. But can he go by? Can he go by Justify when we know full well that Justify already has 2 wins on off tracks and will get that same kind of trip? I don't know if he's going to be able to close 2.5 grounds and then be able to put away Justify. That being said, Good Magic's clearly the second-best horse in the race. You mentioned the odds. Justify 1-2 in the morning line. Good Magic 3-1. If you're looking for kind of an outsider, maybe to close that gap or maybe jump up there, maybe split the exacta, finish your trifecta, there's an interesting horse in there called Tenfold, who was off the board last time out the Arkansas Derby, but he's a horse who should relish the off track. If anyone's going to jump up here, it'll be number 6, Tenfold. He's 20-1 of the morning line, but if you look at his pedigree, by Curlin out of a Tappet mare, an exceptional off-track breeding here, and a horse who could be able to run all day. Now, you look at the off-the-board performance in the Arkansas Derby, I would argue he's probably gotten better since that race. Steve Asmussen has won the Preakness before. He won it several years ago with Rachel Alexandra. He knows what it takes to win the Preakness. I would argue that Tenfold, probably a very interesting player, and I think you're going to get a pretty much, maybe not 20-1, but you're going to get 15-1 on number 6, Tenfold, who I think is an interesting player.
You know, last week when you and I, or 2 weeks ago, Steve, when you and I talked about the Kentucky Derby, we talked about how interesting the field really was. Is it down, in your opinion, when you take a look at what we have at the Preakness this year compared to previous years?
Well, it is, and I think the Preakness always gets that. I think the Preakness always gets downgraded a little bit because if you don't win the Derby, What's the point of coming back in 2 weeks to try again when the Triple Crown trail, the campaign to get to the Derby, is hard enough? Then you settle in with all the stuff that goes on leading up to the race, the connections, the horse itself, all the shipping that goes into it. Why come back in 2 weeks? Which is why I think you see so many new shooters come in for the Preakness Stakes. Now, if Justify wins tomorrow, then you're going to see a bunch of these Derby horses come back for the Belmont. Why? Belmont's a bigger race day. The Belmont Day itself is a bigger day. There's 9 stakes races. It's nationally televised. It's a big deal. Pimlico has also the issue of it, the fact that it's Pimlico. And a lot of trainers typically stay away from Pimlico. It's a short racing season. There's really no reason to go there if you didn't win the Derby. I think it's great that Good Magic is here. But if Good Magic's connections had decided, we'll just wait till the Belmont or some other race, I wouldn't have blamed them. I think the problem with the Preakness, and this is not saying we need to change the Triple Crown or we need to alter the schedule of the Triple Crown, because no, Triple Crown is supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. I like the fact that 6 other, 7 other horses, newbies to this whole thing, if you will, with the exception of Good Magic and Bravazo, I like the fact that there's other new shooters in here. I think that's what the Triple Crown should be. Horses that maybe took a bump along the road, couldn't get to the Derby for whatever reason, but take their swing in the Preakness Stakes. So I like that.
When we look at the history of Bob Baffert, again, he's won the Preakness Stakes 6 times, but he's also had 4 horses, if I'm not mistaken, right, win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Silver Charm, Real Quiet, War Emblem, and American Pharoah. I believe those are the 4 that have done it.
Yep, that is correct. And you had to bring up Point Given, didn't you?
had to bring up Point Given. Had to bring it.
because that's the one that should have won the Triple Crown.
Yes.
That's the one that should have absolutely won the whole thing. And if it wasn't for Gary Stevens blowing the ride of the Kentucky Derby, he would have won the Triple Crown.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, Point Given, I think when you go back and you take a look at some of the horses that could have won the Triple Crown, at least recently, Steve, for maybe even the casual fan, you'll remember Big Brown, but it's Point Given is the one that I don't think gets talked about enough among casual fans, because he didn't win the Kentucky Derby.
He and Spectacular Bid, they're the two that, you know, they should have won the Triple Crown. Spectacular Bid doesn't lose the belt, he wins the Triple Crown. Point Given, if he doesn't lose the belt, the Derby, he wins the Triple Crown. Those are the two that I always go back to as some of the greatest colossal, oh wow, what could have been moments there. And if anyone is unfamiliar with Point Given, he won the Preakness, he won the Belmont. If he doesn't get shut off at the 5/8 pole at Churchill Downs, he wins the Kentucky Derby. Go back and watch that race. You can find it on YouTube, and you'll see exactly what I mean. But that's arguably, in my lifetime, the greatest horse never to win the Triple Crown.
Now, I did mention, and I hate this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway, so forgive me. But I did mention Silver Charm, Real Quiet, War Emblem, and American Pharoah. From what you saw in the Kentucky Derby, where would you say Justify fits in with those 4 outstanding horses?
Wow. I'm going to say War Emblem, because of all the Derby winners from Bob Baffert, War Emblem was a horse who we didn't really know a lot about going in. And when he won the Derby, I remember looking around at each other like, how did we miss this? And I think it's the way we are right now with Justify, because he didn't race it too, so it brings up the question of, well, was he hurt? Did he have some issues? Why didn't he race it too? And then he just sort of burst on the scene here. And a lot of people are going to point at Bob Baffert's barn, that if McKenzie early in the year doesn't get hurt, there was a 2-year-old that he had, that if that horse doesn't get hurt, was Justify even the best 3-year-old in Bob Baffert's barn? So, I mean, even like 3 months ago, we never even heard of Justify. He was a maiden winner. No one thought of him as the Kentucky Derby winner. Baffert had other shooters in the barn that were presumably better. So I think it's a fair comparison to War Emblem. But now, to War Emblem's credit, he went up to win the Preakness, and everyone thought, oh, okay, he's the next big thing. I don't know if we can compare him to American Pharoah, because we knew what American Pharoah was when he won the Arkansas Derby. I don't think you can compare him to Silver Charm, because Silver Charm was a freak. Silver Charm was an amazing horse even before the Kentucky Derby. So I think the War Emblem comparison is quite good.
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot. How's this one shake out tomorrow?
justify wins the Preakness. And then we have all the hype and hyperbole to see if Bob Baffert could become the second, only the first trainer in the history of the Triple Crown to win the Triple Crown, not in consecutive years, but in consecutive order of Triple Crown winners. He'd be the first trainer ever to do it. He had American Pharoah, obviously, back in 2015. And then let the hype begin. I would, if you're playing the race, if you're gambling on the race, I would use two horses in your exactas. I would use Good Magic, obviously, but I would also throw in Tenfold because I think he's going to run a bang-up race. And if you're looking for another horse like deeper in your exotics, an interesting one might be the one-horse Quip. Quip ran second of the Arkansas Derby, kind of small, kind of low-rated connections. We don't know a lot about them yet, but I thought that Arkansas Derby came back to be a pretty good race. So I would play the race with Justify on top. You can use them, single them in all your pick threes, your pick fours. I think that's the way to go there. But if you're playing deeper exotics, I would use the 1, 5, and 6 underneath.
Steve Bordstein, again, he is the host of First Sports and also the Fast Track in Farmington, New Mexico on Fox Sports 1340. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
First Sports of the Morning airs weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. And, of course, you can hear that and the Fast Track, which airs weekends at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can hear them online through the iHeartRadio app. Just download the iHeartRadio app to your smartphone or wireless device. And you can hear us live every weekday and weekend morning at foxsports1340.com. That's our website. And you can hear the Fast Track in First Sports every day. And, of course, if you want to follow me through social media, you can do that quite easily on Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
That's Steve Bordstein. Definitely appreciate the time. Hey, Turner is friend. We can end with that today, right? We can agree.
We can agree Turner's friend. We know how to agree that Puig is always our friend. We can definitely agree Turner is our friend. We can definitely agree to that. And bring on Manny Machado.
I'm with you 100%. Steve, again, thank you so much for the time today.
You bet. My pleasure.
All right. We have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live at the Auto Forum Price Auto Group as we celebrate their grand opening. More coming up right after this.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. One more segment as we are again live at the Auto Forum Ford location, which is located up by Castleview Hospital. We're celebrating the grand opening. Everything from the Coke food truck out there right now, handing out hot dogs, the bouncers for the kids. We have the train rides. I mean, there's just a lot going on here at the Auto Forum today, and that'll continue tomorrow as well at both locations. Now, we're at the Ford location, but there's plenty of other stuff going on at the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location, which is located next to Sutherland's. So just a lot going on. Now, Travis, we got to wrap things up here as we're back for our final segment. I do want to give a scoreboard update because the Carbon Lady Dinos are in the 3A state championship tournament in the quarterfinals. If they can beat Union, they would move on to the semifinals later on at 6. Right now, they trail 4-2. It's a very close game. That's the last scoreboard update that I received. So it was 4-2 Union. We'll keep our fingers crossed and hope the Lady Dinos can pull that one out. But it's a game that's kind of gone back and forth in the early going. I believe there was a rain delay on this one as well, a little bit of a delay. It was supposed to start at 2 o'clock. Instead, they got off and rolling at about 3:30. So rain has definitely played a factor into the softball realm as well. But we'll try to keep tabs on the Carbon Lady Dinos on Castle Country Radio as well. It is somewhat of a quiet day in the national sports scene. You know, we didn't have the NBA last night. One more day without it. We don't have it tonight. We get it tomorrow as we get the Celtics and the Cavaliers. And then on Sunday, we'll dive back into the series between Houston and Golden State. So there is a lot of basketball still to come. But that has not prevented abstract? I don't even know what you call the conversations, the hearsay of what's going to happen in the NBA offseason. Now that the lottery is set, you know who's picking where. There's a lot of talk about this today. And obviously, the San Antonio Spurs have been one of the teams that have maybe picked up the most attention, which is odd because you never hear about a problem in San Antonio. But earlier today, DeMarcus Cousins was talking about returning to the New Orleans Pelicans. And he said that he's definitely open to the idea of returning to New Orleans, but then he went and he unfollowed New Orleans on Twitter, and that was a story. This is amazing to me. In this day and age, when something like that happens in social media, it's a story and it picks up kind of a life of its own. If you were New Orleans, you're a team that improved when he went down. I remember when he went down with the torn Achilles. we thought it was a death sentence for the Pelicans because they were hanging on by a thread to stay in the top eight at that particular time. Anthony Davis shot up the MVP ladder. He's a finalist for the MVP award. They got better without DeMarcus Cousins. Is it foolish to say they're a better team without him, and that that right there isn't something that's a direct correlation to the fact that he wasn't on the court? And if that's the case, would you max him out if you're the Pelicans?
I think they are better without him. I think the floor spacing is more open without him. Anthony Davis has more room to work, and then you have your perimeter guard play that really worked well with him. I think New Orleans is a better team. They made the playoffs without him. They exceeded expectations. So, yeah, I wouldn't max him out because he's coming off that torn Achilles injury, and you don't know how a player is going to respond after that. So if I'm New Orleans, I probably don't max him out.
He said, here's the quote, "I'm going to make the best decision for DeMarcus Cousins." Okay, and I believe he absolutely will make the best decision for himself. I don't think he's going back to New Orleans because, I mean, I don't disagree with you on not maxing this guy out, but guess what? If they don't, someone will.
Yeah, someone's going to pay him.
It doesn't matter if he's coming off a potential career-changing injury.
Because he's a good ball player.
Right. Somebody is going to max this guy out. You know, you can even go back further to when the trade was actually made, and I think a lot of people thought that maybe New Orleans was assembling one of the best front courts that we have seen in quite some time. There were comparisons at that time to David Robinson and Tim Duncan, which I thought were a little bit premature. But it made sense because you had two guys in their prime and really a guy like Anthony Davis that can do it all. I'm with you. I think that money would be better spent elsewhere.
They need shooting.
They gave up shooting to get him, but now you have to surround AD. You got to make sure you put this guy in the right situation, and I'm with you. I'm just not quite sure that him returning to New Orleans would be good for either party. With that being said, this kind of talk is going to pick up. It seems like everyone is just planning that Paul George is going to go to L.A. That's something that just continues to run rampant. But you can tell you're getting into the slow time of the year because this is the talk that is now center stage.
You have trade chatter. You have teams saying, well, we can trade these players for whoever. So it's slow, like you said, until we get the summer league and all that and the draft. So for right now, you're going to hear a lot of rumors.
It's rumors. It's rumors. It's rumors. It's rumors. And in this day of social media, they run rampant. Now, we're just about out of time on this edition of the show. Before we do that, I promised Travis I'd give him some time to talk hockey. I promised you. Last 2 minutes. Go ahead. Talk your hockey.
Last night, Tampa Bay on the road, game 4, knocks off Washington to tie that series 2-2, so 4-2. So in that series, both road teams have won throughout. Tampa Bay is a very good team. Stamkos last night was very good. Washington is the team that has to get to the Stanley Cup with Alexander Ovechkin because they have struggled to get past the second round in the Penguins. So finally they do that. So it's a team that needs to get to the Cup. And in the Western Conference, you got Winnipeg and Vegas, and Vegas continues to win.
You know, it's funny. You and I were talking about the Western Conference going into the Western Conference Finals. And I lean on Travis when it comes to hockey because I will watch playoff hockey. I will watch Olympic hockey. That's where my knowledge on hockey pretty much stops. You didn't think Vegas had a chance against Winnipeg.
No, I liked Winnipeg. I thought Winnipeg was the faster, more physical team. And Vegas jumped out on them in game 2 and 3. I think Winnipeg wins tonight, even series 2-2. I like Winnipeg tonight.
Now, it is in Vegas. Game 4 tonight. Start time is set for 6 p.m., so it's coming up here in about an hour. Now, with that being said, we are out of time on this edition of the show. And again, we are live at the Auto Farm Ford location. We're going to be down here for a little while longer. The doors will stay open until 8 or until the last customer leaves. And do not forget that the Auto Farm is also offering a grand opening celebration tomorrow as well. They're going to be giving away a lot of prizes. It's a great place to be, so come on down. The Auto Farm Ford and the Chrysler Dodge and Jeep Ram location, which is next to Sutherland's. Again, we're right now next to the hospital at the brand new location for the grand opening. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. A lot of fun to take the show out of the studio and come on down here and do one live. It's got a different feel to it. I want to thank Steve Bortstein and, of course, Coach Sean Bell for joining us over the phone this afternoon as well. Tomorrow, best of edition of Drive Time Sports will come your way at 4 p.m., and then we'll return on Sunday at the same time. Have a great weekend. Be safe. We are out.